May I speak in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. We're moving through the Psalms still, and Psalm 11 is what we're looking at today, with the theme, When the Foundations Crumble, What Can We Do? And we need to sort of set that in context. And to do that, you need to actually look at the psalm that comes before, Psalm 10, which asks several questions. Well, it asks a question and makes a statement. It says, Why, Lord, do you stand so far off? And it says, Arise, Lord, lift up your hand, O God, do not forget the helpless. And then Psalm 11, that first verse, is the answer, isn't it? In the Lord I take refuge. So, foundations crumble. What can we do? When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? So, what is a foundation? It's that which provides support to what is built on it. Now, that's my definition. It's probably not quite a dictionary definition, but it allows one to apply it to different things. You can apply that to a house or a building, you could apply it to a theory, and you can also apply it to faith. Now, as a former residential surveyor, foundations of houses were obviously quite important to me. Not that you can actually see the foundations to a house, well, you shouldn't be able to anyway. But it's what's resting on those foundations that tells you so much about the foundations themselves. Are they strong enough? Or are the cracks in the walls the main question? And that needs often quite a bit of sorting out, quite a bit of digging out often for a wall. And then take a theory. A theory is built on certain premises because a theory is a theory, it's not a fact. But it's an idea that we believe because it fits certain ideas. You fit things together. So a theory will fail if the premise on which it is built is incorrect. And so faith. Our faith is built on the foundation of what we believe. As we state in our creeds, we believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that he came and lived among us, that he died and rose again, that he will come again to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. Now, if you remember, Jesus told the parable of the house that was built on sand. Our house, our faith, is built on the rock that is Jesus. And if we were singing a hymn at this point somewhere just afterwards, we'd be singing probably, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord. And indeed we will be singing that at Cuddington's later on today. So foundations are important. And Western culture is very much formed around the Bible, around Christian ethics, but also around Roman and Greek legal structures. And it's a mixture of those that has formed what we call Western society and has been so for hundreds of years. But people are saying those foundations are crumbling. Belief in God in Western society is falling. And you have to think about what is happening. There's been a dramatic growth in a humanist view. And secular view has become pervasive, particularly in education. There's also a belief with our increased knowledge of science that science is the answer to everything. In fact, God is no longer relevant. And that alongside that, we've become much more self-centered. We talk about the me generation. And think about how many people go on holiday to enjoy wonderful places, and all they come back with is pictures of themselves with something in the background, a building or a view or something, but the focus is always on them, not on where they are and the joy of being there. Self comes first. Or that dreaded word, selfies. Now, there's nothing wrong with the occasional reminder that you were somewhere, but if you go to tourist locations, you think some people don't do anything else. It's amazing. But of course, this is not the case across the world. We talk about Western civilization being a particular understanding of how things are. But the truth is that that doesn't apply to the whole of the world. So what else might be leading to the decline in faith in God? I hate to say it, but I believe a good part of the decline that we've seen over the last 50 years is a result of failed unity within the church. We put so much effort into divisive issues. You think of how many years there's been arguments over women's ministry and sexuality. And the world has looked on as the church has bickered. But I have to ask that question, are those facts really important? Is it really important that some of us believe slightly different things from other people? We've got Baptists, Anglicans, Methodists, Catholics. We all believe slightly different things, but somehow we generally muddle along together, and churches together in Haddon, we get on ever so well working together, doing things together. I think the important thing is there's been so much focus on what divides us and not enough focus on what unites us. It's essential that we continue to seek to serve God together. For me, the important thing is that while some may have a different understanding, we're at the same time all believers in God our Father. And we should be focusing our thoughts, our prayers, and all our efforts on making disciples of the world, regardless of our different understandings, because that's what Jesus commanded us to do. And I do rather fear that the devil's having a bit of a field day as we spend so much time looking inward rather than looking outward. And so one has to think, is it any surprise that those who look on at the church can come to consider God to be irrelevant? So going back to that central theme, so what is crumbling? The foundation or the building on it? The edifice built on the foundation may be crumbling, but is the foundation to blame for the cracks? Now, if you take a house and you have cracks in the walls and things moving around, that could imply failure of the foundations. But it also can imply shoddy building practices, things that haven't been done properly, incorrect mixes in mortar so that the joints become washed out. All sorts of things can happen to houses which don't necessarily reflect on the foundations. And I think, certainly from my point of view as a surveyor, it was a challenge to work out what was wrong with a house sometimes. Jesus said to Peter, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." Jesus was not planning for poor construction on the rock that he founded. That would have been the last thing on his mind. That rock, the foundation of our faith, is trust in God. As St. John put it, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." God was there at the beginning. He was, he is, and he ever will be God. Psalm 11 finds the writer in trouble, and he seeks refuge in the Lord. But others advise him to flee. He says, "In the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me to flee? Flee to the hills, fly away." But God is ever present. If he has turned to the Lord, there is no need to run. For he, as he says later in the psalm, "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne." The foundations of our faith are secure. There is no need to flee. Yes, sometimes the church, in inverted commas, appears in decline. God is increasingly in this country considered to be irrelevant. But God himself has not changed. The foundation is secure. So what can we do? We can take heart, for the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. Upright men will see his face. We can put aside all that separates us from God. We can recenter our lives on God. We can continue to love our sisters and brothers, even if we don't agree with them over everything. And we can forgive and seek forgiveness in order to bring peace to all. And that's terribly important. We do struggle to forgive and to forget, put things behind us, to work towards the future that God has promised. Think of the words in the Lord's Prayer. To forgive and seek forgiveness as we forgive others. It's so important. And we seem to spend so much time being unforgiving, being almost cruel to each other in some of the things that are said. I know we have fundamental differences within the church, but as Christians, we should know how to deal with those in a loving manner. And sometimes when you read things in the papers, you think, are these really Christians? Have they forgotten the call that God has placed on their life? And so we need to continue to pray. Pray for each other, and pray for those who have yet to accept Christ into their lives. And as we think of prayer, we need to pray for church leaders, for our political leaders. And if that seems challenging, I'd refer you to the words from the Book of Common Prayers. That's a very good starting point. I'm going to read them now. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes and governors, and especially thy servant Elizabeth our Queen, that under her we may be godly and quietly governed, and grant unto her whole council and to all that are put in authority under her, that they may truly and indifferently minister justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops and curates, that they may both by their life and doctrine set forth thy true and living word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments, and to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and specially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. Those two prayers are so sound, so central to the needs of our country at this moment, to praying for the country, for our church. And I just feel that if you're ever in need of words, dig those out and just read them through. And so finally, I think we need to return to that first, to give thanks for all that we have been given. The reading we had from the New Testament tells us that, or reminds us, we can't take anything with us. But it also reminds us that what we have comes from God. And we need to give thanks for that. And so we can take heart, for the Lord is righteous. He loves justice, and upright men will see his face. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks that you are indeed in your temple and seated on your throne. We thank you, Lord, that the rock of our faith, the foundation of our faith, is secure. And we pray, Lord, that each one of us may do our part in strengthening your church family here in Haddenham and across the country and through the world in all that we can do and say. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.